Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR-DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWR-DB.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show on eWater Radio, KEWR-DB, where I will feature the hottest topics in regards to nutrition, sports, and fitness. Today is an exciting day because I didn't even realize it until tonight. This is actually my 50th show. I didn't even tell anyone. I just told my producer 2 seconds ago. So that's pretty cool, right? 50 shows. That's pretty awesome. So we have some celebrating to do. But first, we have to give our shout-outs, as always, right? And the first shout-out goes out to my producer, eWater. You know, thank you so much for all your support, for giving me this platform. I love what I do. It brings me, you know, I'm passionate. I'm passionate about fitness, sports, interviewing people, nutrition. Like, this is what I'm about. So it's such a blessing and honor to be able to have this platform. So I really appreciate it. And the next shout out goes out to all my guests and my listeners out there for making this possible. Thank you guys so much for believing in my show, being on my show, being part of my show, listening to my show, all of the above. And then we're going to go move into some shout-outs on birthdays. Happy birthday to all the April and May babies out there. Happy birthday. And also to the moms out there. I hope you enjoyed your Mother's Day and you were spoiled and did it right and treated yourself. Next shout-out goes to Sick With It, Inches, and Dick the Battle. Thank you guys so much for being on my last show and for sharing your stories with us. These three guys are super talented, and I look forward to having them on my show again very, very soon to share their updates. Speaking of, we have a returning guest tonight who I'm super excited about. She was actually the first ever sanctioned amateur female boxer in U.S. history. A musician, professional bodybuilder, trainer, actress, you name it. But what she's going to be talking tonight about is the fact that she mentioned in one of my shows that she's vegan. So we're going to talk about that more in detail. So we're going to go ahead and call her in. And this is the second time I've ever actually called anyone on air. So bear with me. We are going to make this happen. Let's see here. All right. We are dialing. We are dialing. Okay, I'm dialing her number. Here we go. Yes.
Hello, Miss Tammy.
What's up, Dallas? Oh my gosh, I got so nervous my second time doing a dial in, and
you're
I'm like,
so
oh my
cute.
Gosh. I'm like,
I heard you.
Work.
I was like, okay.
But
don't
you know,
nervous.
Good energy.
You succeeded. Absolutely, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, I know, thank you so much for taking the time to be on my show tonight. I know you're super busy, and I just really appreciate, you know, you returning back to the show to talk about something so amazing.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I love coming to talk to you. We can talk for hours.
I know, right? We both share a lot of the same passion in terms of, you know, fitness and nutrition and boxing. I mean, there's so many layers to the things
true.
That we both love, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, on my last show, you had mentioned the fact that you're vegan, and I thought it would be interesting to dig into that more, because we had a show, you know, about the topic of, like, plant-based. We had Dr. Batiste from the Game Changers documentary on my show.
Mm.
He was a cardiologist, and he was talking about how he sees all these patients with heart issues, and plant-based diet was the way to go. And he did a lot of research on it. And so he became plant-based himself. And, you know, with that, I mean, there's so many different types of eating lifestyles, you know. But first, you know, what I want to do, because for our listeners, some people consider vegan and vegetarian and plant-based the same, but they're not. They're not. They're a little bit different than each other. Very, very similar,
right.
But a little bit different. So we're going to start off the show by kind of diving into that first. And so I'll kind of tell you my definitions of plant-based, vegan, and vegetarian, and then I want you to add on to that, Dallas, and let me know, you know, if you agree with that or if you have more to add to that. Okay?
Sure. I'll do my best. Go. Yeah. Get into this.
All right. All right. So plant-based, you know, it excludes all animal products and byproducts. So the foods that are included in that type of lifestyle, plant-based lifestyle, include fruits, vegetables, legumes, grains, seeds, nuts, and oils, right? Then you have minimal processed foods that don't include animal products, such as like meat substitutes, right?
You're describing plant-based, right? Isn't that what you said at the start?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Because my understanding is that plant-based, it's primarily all those foods you mentioned, but not exclusively. So
right.
Some.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But mostly what you're saying. Yeah. But I think some people who eat plant-based are, you know, that's primarily what they do, but they still might have some animal products. But they are primarily
like
plant-based.
Amount?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's And again, you could talk to someone else and they'll be like, well, no, that's not what I do. But from, you know, all of my studies, my nutrition studies, that's generally what plant-based seems to be defined as, is it's primarily plant-based, non-animal products, but not exclusively, just to be exact and annoying about it.
No, that's good. That's good. That's good. I mean, this is what we want to dig into. So this is good. So then vegetarian is, you know, if you're vegetarian, you exclude all animal meat, including fish and seafood, however, animal byproducts such as eggs, milk, honey, and cheese. Does that sound about right?
That, from my understanding, yes. I would agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. And then veganism is a way of living. It's a philosophy, an ethical stance.
Yeah.
Veganism excludes all forms of exploitation of cruelty to animals for clothing, food, or any other purpose. You know, it's more of a way of living, and it's about being concerned for the welfare of animals in terms of what, you know, to eat. Vegans' go-to is usually fruits, vegetables, legumes, such as peas, beans, breads, rice, pasta, lentils, vegetable oils, dairy alternatives, seeds, nuts, right?
Yeah, totally. Exactly. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, and people kind of take it as far as they want to go, right? I mean, there's always exceptions.
Sure. There's always, there's a range. Yeah.
There's
a
range. And there's so many different, you know, there's pescatarian, there's so many different definitions. There's a million different cohorts that have sprung from, I think the original thing was like vegetarian and then vegan came into play and then plant-based and then all these other spinoffs kind of came into play as to what people want to define themselves as.
Right. That's it's, you know, it can be really complex and it's just like anything. You're going to have someone that's completely extreme and, you know, really striving for perfection. And then there's, you know, there's a range. The one thing with vegan, you totally nailed it. It definitely is not just a way of eating. It's a lifestyle as far as just, you know, don't buy products that are, you know, like I always look for, you know, cruelty-free products and cosmetics and, you know, anything that you buy. And so you could call that more extreme, but that kind of has a negative connotation. So I don't mean it that way, but it's, yeah. And it's awesome. I'll just say it's not as hard as someone might think, you know, that hasn't been there. I will say that.
So what does it really mean then to you? Because, you know, you have a lot of people that kind of have their own rule set and, you know, on
yeah.
what they associate themselves with in terms of, you know, which kind of group they associate themselves with. In this case, being a vegan, what does that mean to you? Like, how do you, let's add on to that just for you in general.
Sure. I mean, it's definitely, I don't eat any animal products. So, you know, everything you said. So it's no dairy, just nothing that comes from an animal, including no honey. So, and it's funny because I never really think about it. It's like, it's such a habit, you know, this has been over 5 years that I've been doing this. And I can honestly say, if I have to say I have a regret, the only regret would be that I didn't do it sooner.
Ooh, wow.
It's not limiting in any way. And in fact, anymore, there's so many like meat alternatives, if you want to call it that, that it's quite easy actually. But like anything, any lifestyle change, especially when it comes to food, we all have our routines. And so any change is going to take work. I'm not going to lie, but you know, I'm used to challenging myself. So it's like, if it's something I want to do, just like when I decide to do it, I wouldn't say it was particularly devastatingly hard. It was just like, okay, we're creating new habits, just like learning new exercises, or, you know, I'm creating a new routine, or I'm starting a new job, and there's like a learning curve here. But it's like, once you figure out, you know, oh, these are kind of my go-to snacks, and these are some of my favorite meals, it's like, it's just another, you know, it's practically speaking, it's not ultra challenging, was my point there. But yeah, like you said, you know, no animal products. And then I like don't, you know, I always look at the products and look for cruelty-free, and that also is not that hard. It just takes a little bit of looking, a little work. And I think the important lesson with since I have to compare everything to exercise, right? Or any sport, right? It's all the same thing, where it's harder in the beginning to learn a new thing or a new skill, because you're flexing a new muscle that it's completely new. But once it becomes a habit, I know what soaps I buy because they're, you know, they're companies I want to support. They're cruelty free. You know, I mean, anything I spend money on, the way I see it, when you spend money, you're voting. Like, that's your most powerful way to vote. So everything I buy, it's like I only want to support companies that I believe in their mission statement and what they're doing. And so, like, cosmetics, and there's a lot of companies that have decided, you know, they're not going to do it, and they're vegan and cruelty-free. And you do have to check, because I know there's some companies that they have some products that are cruelty-free, but then not all of them. So you have to dig a little bit. But like I said, once you find the ones you mainly use, it's like, it's not that big of a deal, you know. It's important. Yeah, important.
So what, I mean, in terms of, like, you made that choice, is there anything that kind of brought you to that point of what you made this choice 5 years ago? Is there anything in your life that led to that choice, that decision? Was there something that happened that you said, this is what I'm going to do?
Right. No, that's such a good question. I mean, it's, for me, it wasn't any one thing. I have to go, to answer your question properly, I have to go back, because several years back, back in 2002, 2003, I was studying naturopathy, and I became certified in naturopathy. That's natural medicine, utilizing herbs and nutrition. And the main herbalist that I worked with, because then I opened a business and was doing that, and I love that. I still utilize that for my life and health and clients that I train, but there's so many other things that I felt compelled to do that I'm not doing that as a business. But man, that was some of the best training, though. It's like, that's a super powerful mode of healing, is naturopathy. But anyway, it's incredible. So, I mean, I could talk about that for hours, but yeah, I always say that. I have too much. There's too many things. I need to be like 10 people, and then I could relax finally. But anyway, so I learned a lot about eating and just, you know, being vegan from my herbalist that I worked with. And through working with him, I studying nutrition. And strictly from a nutrition standpoint, I'm not going to say almost entirely from a nutrition standpoint, I was compelled then to be vegan. And I did it for about 8 months. And the only reason I stopped is it was just a series of life changes. I moved, I felt compelled to leave that business and, you know, go back and move back to California and, you know, resume a career I'd started before, which was, you know, my acting and other things. So I could have continued it, but I think the reason I didn't is pretty simple. One, typically when people switch to a vegan, the ones that stick with it usually did so initially because of moral reasons as opposed to nutrition. And it might sound self-hating, but let's face it, I care more about, I suppose, the well-being of other animals than myself. When it comes to my motivation, like, I'm like, it's just me, I'm fine. And so the moral, I hadn't delved into the moral aspect of eating meat. And so I didn't really have that in my mind. And so that was when I moved back and I was starting back in acting, I was also bodybuilding. And that's when I also started competing. I promise this story comes to a point. And I still had the conditioning that, and, you know, it's just marketing for a whole lifetime and a belief that was implanted in me that I had to eat meat in order to get big. And so when I was working with a trainer for competition, he was like, are you ready to start eating meat? And I said, he said, are you ready to start eating meat again? And I said, yeah, okay. And so I just did. And again, it's because I was doing it primarily for nutrition and I didn't think about the other aspect. I hadn't gotten that deep with it yet. So, but the point is that experience never left me and I loved it. Like I always loved it. I still trained that whole time. You know, again, before I was in competition, but I was still training in bodybuilding, I mean, in weightlifting and hard and heavy. And so that memory never left me. And so anyway, so fast forward, you know, so about, say, 6 years ago, 5.5 years ago, I was just thinking about it again. And like anything, you know, everything that someone does or creates starts with a thought. Like everything we see is a thought that someone had, sure. Had an idea. Yeah. And so it started to kind of come back into my mind. And I think it was also because I, you know, worked with animals. I did some, you know, volunteering and had gone to some animal sanctuaries and some wildlife animal sanctuaries. And I think developing those connections, and I can only say it's just, there's just so many layers of this and it becomes it becomes about consciousness. And so that started to happen to me was just like this deeper understanding. And and I was thinking about this cognitive dissonance in my mind. How can I can no longer justify this. And the truth is I never could justify it. And the truth is if most people knew what was happening in factory farming, most people wouldn't justify it either, but we just don't want to look because we have an idea of what it's like. And I understand that. I can't judge that because I did that. But the fact is I learned too much and I became open to understanding what was going on there. And I remember having a conversation. Actually, I was on the phone with my dad once. Shout out, Dad. And I was saying, you know, I'm thinking about this, right? Because he and I always talk nutrition and stuff. And I said, you know, I would never eat a dog or a cat. And, you know, most Americans would neither. I mean, it's cultural. And this is all conditioning, right? So to take the emotion out of it, if you just think, it's just conditioning. And I said to him, you know, if I had a turkey that was a friend, like my cats, or I probably wouldn't eat them either. And I fully acknowledge that that might sound airy-fairy, kind of silly, or like, you know, it's that's completely coming from a place of emotion. Well, fine, I acknowledge that. Humans are emotional creatures. You know, that's why we're all so ridiculous. But anyway, so it was funny because when I said that, I was like, well, I had gone to all these animal sanctuaries and I've seen things and learned and listened to people and learned about the animals and their recovery from trauma and things and how they, you know, help people overcome trauma, you know, like certain sanctuaries, there's this one, the Gentle Barn, and like, you know, they do all kinds of things working with kids and it helps, you know, there's animals just like any other sentient being that they're traumatized for various reasons and the kids work with them and they heal each other. It's quite powerful. You know, it's very spiritual.
Oh yeah. I've taken my daughter to that place.
Yeah.
To the Gentle Barn. Oh. It was amazing. It was really cool.
It's amazing.
Yes,
cool. I know. Oh my God. The vegan hot dogs are ridiculously good. and it's funny because actually when I went there, I had already switched to, I had already become vegan when I went there, but it was early in the beginning. And I remember them saying, you know, cause they kind of take you on the tour and tell you, you know, everything. And they're like, haven't hugged a cow. It's going to change your life. And I thought, oh, that's cute. You know, whatever, man, it changes your life. Okay. Well, you know, you were there. So it's just, you know, they're big gentle puppies. So it's, you know, but anyway, so basically I just got to a point where that gap in my mind closed, where I can no longer do this. And you know, and I read so many things, and there's, you know, several passages in the Bible about, you know, eating, you know, the vegetables and the seeds and the nuts. And this is, you know, for your, you know, nutrients and, you know, there's wisdom from animals and there's so much. I mean, you can really go deep, and I tend to go all in on anything that I do. So it just became clear that this was what I needed to do and what was more like kind of occurring to me. And so I decided, and that was that. And I finished the food I had. I think like I had a month of basically vegetarian, and I finished the eggs, and that was it. And I can just tell you that with zero sense of superiority or self-righteousness, because that's silly and absurd. No one should ever feel that. I am the last person to feel that, considering my crazy life. I just feel so good mentally to not have that conflict anymore. It's like, okay, at least I know that I'm not contributing to this terrible, I mean, there are no words for the situation of factory farming. I'll just say this, it's completely different than the idea of, oh, an adorable family farm and they love the animals and when it's time, they kill them quickly. It's not that. That is not, that's like 10% or less of what happens in, you know, this industry. It's mostly horrific and suffering, and it's, you know, animals crammed together. It's and it's very bad for literally everyone involved, except for those that are profiting from it, which is, God help them. But, I don't want to be a part of that. You know, I don't want to contribute to that. And I'm glad to not be a part of it. And it doesn't end there. You know, there's more to do. But, like, that is a big thing. And then nutritionally, it also just is super beneficial. I mean, like, I eat so clean. And the thing is, too, I know there's myths about, like, oh, vegans are so skinny. And it's totally has to do with what you eat, quantity, and how you train. It's like anything else. It's about lifestyle. There's plenty of unhealthy, skinny people that eat meat and sugar and crap. You know what I mean? It's like,
well,
it's not exclusive.
I think that,
yeah.
Right. But I think the number one thing that people are, that question, you know, vegan, vegetarian, and plant-based, they're like, where's the protein? You know, how are you getting your protein?
Right, right.
How can you gain muscle? But,
right,
you know,
right.
The plant-based game changers, like, really prove that theory to be wrong. There's professional football players,
yeah.
MMA, you know, MMA fighters. There's so many different athletes out there, bodybuilders, that actually are vegan and or plant-based,
yeah.
or vegetarian, that still get that protein.
Right.
So that's kind of a myth. I mean, you could still get a lot of protein from,
yeah.
other sources. I mean, how do you get your protein in? Like, what types of,
sure.
ways do you get your protein in?
Yeah, and that is a great point. You're right. That is first of all, I changed my mindset, and I can still fall back into this, but I changed my mindset from quantity to quality. Because when I was bodybuilding, I mean, I would put away the grams like crazy. And the problem is I was eating a lot of lower quality protein, and the fact is you can only absorb so much protein. Your body, you know, can only use it, and it's going to go to fat or waste. So now a lot of it is, like, I take this superfood that's great. I take it every day. It has sea vegetables, you know, blue-green algae, chlorella, spirulina, all these. Those are some of the best foods in the world, honestly, from all of my studies. It's like minerals and just protein, clean, you know, live food. And so,
yeah.
What's that? Sorry, go ahead.
I said all the nutrients that go within that, yeah. So many different,
yeah,
nutrients,
exactly.
vitamins, minerals, all of that.
But yeah. Yeah, it's true. Like, if you had to live on that, you could. So I do have, I use protein powder some, and but that's also because I do push myself, and I do, like, if I didn't do weight training and then, you know, some cardio, some boxing, some intervals, some, like, I wouldn't probably need as much, or maybe I would just do, you know, one shake a day. I don't think you have to take a shake. I just do because it's convenient for my lifestyle and to get enough to support, because I do like gains. I do like being strong and pushing the weight. So, but it comes from, like, brown rice, peas, and then, of course, you know, I love nuts and seeds, you know, walnuts. Peanuts aren't the best, but like organic, like I try to get as much quality, best quality that I can. You know, flaxseed, chia seed. I think we talked about those, hemp seeds. Those are great.
Yeah, hemp seeds are actually better than the flax seeds and the chia seeds in terms of nutrients.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hidden secret.
Right?
A lot of people don't know about hemp seeds. They think hemp, oh my gosh, I'm going to test Nate,
right,
know,
right.
The first test. But no, it's not that,
right,
at all.
Right.
It's not that at all. And basically,
yeah.
like, there's more omegas and there's more protein,
yeah.
three times more protein, I think, than chia seeds, flax seeds. Like, it's probably one of the cleanest, heartiest, filling things.
Yeah.
I mean, I put that in my protein shakes. I put it in my yogurt, too.
Yeah.
I mean, yogurt is not, it's not
right,
vegan.
Right.
But no. I do. I put
there
I
is
put
vegan
it
yogurt,
yogurt
though.
They used to put it. Yeah,
yeah.
There is.
So
yeah, I mean, but
like
you
coconut
could put
base,
it in a lot of different,
yeah.
things. You could put it in your. Yeah, you could put it in your salad.
Yeah.
You could put a lot.
Yeah.
But see, those are those little sneaky kind of ways that you. Well, not even sneaky.
Yeah.
Let's call them intentional.
Yeah, they
These
are
intentional.
Sure.
Ways that you put you add protein to your diet without consuming,
yeah.
meat. You know. I mean, so I got to ask you this, Dallas.
Yeah.
Like, so. How has it made you feel in terms of your body? Okay, I understand the more personal,
yeah.
connection to it and the animal welfare,
yeah.
side of it. But in terms of your body,
right.
like, do you feel like you have sustainable energy? Like, how,
yeah.
how do you feel before, like, when you were eating meat or actually, or animal products, right? You were vegetarian first before you became vegan. So how did you feel as a vegetarian versus vegan, body-wise?
Well, right. And the thing is, when I say a transition, I mean, it was literally like a month. So I couldn't really give you a good case study there. It was, I made the decision, and because I'm a practical-minded person, I'm just like, well, I'm going to eat what I have, but I finished the meat that I had, and then I had eggs, and I said, okay, I will finish these, but it worked out to be about a month's time. So I couldn't honestly answer what that was like. I mean, it was, you know, I could say it was probably cleaner than, you know, when I was still eating meat, but I can definitely tell you a difference when I was fully off of all of that. I remember I didn't really feel like I needed as much sleep. And what I mean by that is I was eating so clean. And when you eat really clean, and let's just be clear, okay, a person can be a vegan and eat garbage, obviously. You can eat sugar all day long, you can eat crap, and you're not going to, you're going to be like, what's she talking about? Well, look, I'm saying when I'm eating clean and most of my, you know, food is like fruits and vegetables, nuts, seeds, beans, you know, organic tofu. Like, I mean, I like, you know, the Impossible Burgers and those things. I will eat those, but you know, not all the time because it is highly processed, but man, the energy, just crazy. So clean, so good. And I think, you know, I'm not giving anyone advice, but if I eat cleaner, I just don't need as much sleep because I'm going to sleep harder and it's going to be more quality sleep because my body's not, you know, your body's sleeping. That's when it does all of its repair work at night. And like I said, I train. And so there's things to take care of, you know, this is when we're rebuilding and hopefully waking up renewed. But like if there's a bunch of, especially if you, you know, if you eat garbage at night and then your poor body's like having to work overtime to try to process that, you know, obviously you're just not going to feel well. That's why when people, you know, if you eat pizza and you usually eat really clean and then you have like pizza and maybe you overeat on it, it's just like, you're not going to feel your best the next day. I mean, there's just no way, you're not going to have that edge. It's just, you know,
yeah,
and that's just the way it
kind
is.
Of feeling. That's
sluggish
kind of feeling.
Yeah.
But
white
I will
flour,
say too, like
refined sugar, you know.
Oh yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know,
those are the worst.
Impossible Burgers.
Yeah.
But I would say like the plant-based burgers, Impossible Meat, or like Beyond Meat, like.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, it is so good.
I know.
I don't even think
it's
like,
so good.
Like. It is so good. And actually, once you start eating that, like, you honestly don't want to go back to the other. I mean, I have really got to be in the mood for a burger. And I'm not vegetarian. I'm not vegan. I'm not plant-based.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that I lead more of a plant-based lifestyle than most.
Yeah.
I do eat meat, though. No doubt about it. I do eat meat. But I will say, though, when I do, like, Meatless Mondays, I do feel a difference. I do feel a difference.
Yeah.
And I love how I feel. I feel cleaner. I do notice a difference.
Yeah.
I do notice a difference.
It's amazing, right? Yeah.
It really is. It really is.
Well,
I mean, so do you ever, like, crave, though? Like, do you ever crave? Well, I guess if you do crave maybe like meat or something, then you always find that alternative to it, right? To where it's, you know, like you said, Impossible,
right.
Or tofu, or, you know, to feel like you get that, that taste or that texture, right?
Right. No, that's such a good question because the truth is I don't crave that. I don't think I really... The thing I probably liked the most was I love cheese. I was like, I have like the taste buds of a child. I love cheese sandwiches. I love cheese, you know, but man, there, as I think we talked about this, there is so much plant-based cheese. It's ridiculous. And so I don't miss anything. I mean, obviously I'm not going to eat dairy anyway, but it's just like, there's nothing missed, man. there's like 8 or 9 brands that I'm aware of that are just so good. If anything, that would be the one thing I would have craved, but that's why I feel so spoiled. That's the thing. When I was vegan, you know, for that, like I said, it was 8 or 9 months, but still, you know, significant period of time back in 2004. Yeah. There was none of this stuff. And I was living in Oklahoma at the time. So it was like, and I still loved it because again, I made the decision, but it was now it's like a cakewalk. I mean, oh my God, you don't miss a beat. And I actually, it's funny, I've known of vegans who have been maybe lifelong vegans. They actually don't like those patties, those meatless patties, because they just taste too much like meat and they never really like the taste of meat, which makes sense. So you don't have to have them and that's fine. I mean, I try not to depend on them anyway because they are so processed. But yeah, the options now are pretty insane. You know,
it is. You know, what's weird is that when I was pregnant with my daughter, I could not eat meat at all. Like it made me throw up. Like I could not eat meat. I could not even smell it. Like I could not eat meat.
Yeah.
What's weird is that they say usually what you eat while you're pregnant, it kind of translates into the child, and you see that overlap there. But the weird thing is, that is one thing that did not happen. My daughter is the biggest like meat eater that I know. She won't eat vegetables and fruits, and here I am a nutritionist, and I'm always trying to advocate everyone to eat vegetables. So I have a hard time with her, but we integrate. I have good little strategies just due to my job and my training. You know, I have good strategies on how to help her with that. But I will say, though, it is very weird how my body chemistry changed during that time. I literally couldn't have any meat. When I say no meat, no meat. In fact, my husband called me the cereal killer because I ate so much cereal. It was ridiculous. And cheese.
Cereal. That's hilarious.
I ate the weirdest thing. I went through every week. I went through different cravings. It was the weirdest thing. But But then, you know, and it was weird. I felt cleaner during that time. And I will say, though, I mean, if somebody out there that's listening that's vegan curious, vegan curious, we talked about this on the other day.
Yeah.
You made that up.
Right,
that's the funniest
thing. I was like, I think you're plant
curious. Vegan
curious.
Plant curious. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so if somebody is vegan curious, like what would be their starting point? Like what advice would you have for our listeners that maybe want to go that route or try it out?
I would say keep thinking about it. And because the more you think about something, and I don't mean to say stay stuck in thought forever because that's not good, but you know, everything starts with a thought. And, you know, if you're a spiritual person, I would say pray about it. Because that's the answer for everything. And then I would say if you got some serious moxie, I would do a little research into factory farming and see what that's all about. Because that might do it. That might do it.
Mm.
If you're not quite ready to do that, I would say, you know, look, I'm all about minimize suffering. So at least will you consider switching to grass-fed, free-range, organic, and you have to really pay attention because the manufacturers are absolutely shameless and will put things on there. Like it has to really be clear that it's, you know, this is, they're not saying, it's saying organic, but like the brand name is organic. Like I've heard of that. Like there's a brand that has, it's something like Wild Caught, but that's just the brand. It's crazy. But anyway, so do some research, but like, could you at least maybe go there first? And that will be making a difference. So at least you're not supporting the massive, that, you know, the factory farming industry, which is just nothing but horrific for all living beings, including the farmers involved, by the way. That would be my suggestion. And if they're ready to go a step further and they're like, you know, I've looked into this and there's nothing good there. Nothing good can come from that situation, believe me, if you see what I'm talking about, is to just make little changes. exploring. One of the best things is, and I've always done this when I've made any kind of lifestyle change with like food, you know, diet, or when I'm, you know, like when I was competing and it was really strict dieting. I mean, that does get super extreme, but instead of thinking about deprivation, oh, I can't have all this. It's like, actually there's so much you can have. Think about it. It's all how you think about it and how you set your mind. So instead of thinking, oh, I can't have meat now, I can't have animal products, it's like, first of all, I personally feel like I'm free from that. Like, it's not a deprivation. It's like I'm free from that awful conflict in my mind. I don't have to live with that. Oh, it's such a relief. It's actually so much easier. It made my life easier because I was freed up from that weight that I really didn't realize I was carrying for a lifetime until I fully set it down. Because again, conditioning, man, that I can't stress that enough. It's all about conditioning. And so once I set that down, it's like, oh God, I always think about that. So think about all the different fruits you can have, like all the huge variety of fruits that are available. You know, people, we tend to all get into our routines and ruts about, and I get it. If you're like me, I have 10,000 things to think about. So I don't have time to think about a new menu every single day. I mean, but like I said, I found things that I really like, but I keep it interesting. Like I will try a different vegetable or a different fruit. And I'm sure that sounds really nerdy and boring, and that's fine. But it's like you can have every vegetable, every fruit. There's all kinds of nuts and seeds. There's all these, you know, some people don't eat grains, some do, some don't. But if you do eat grains, there's so many different kinds of grains that just we never think about, you know, that are really tasty. I mean, quinoa, that's another one. I didn't even mention that. Quinoa is a good source of protein. Mix that with, or just have it plain, but you can mix it, you know, beans and
mix it with vegetables.
You know, brown rice.
Yeah,
vegetables, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, exactly. It's like, so just start looking at what you can have, which is like almost everything. And the thing too is, you know, sugar has been like one of the banes of my existence. If I can have more than one bane, is that possible? The bane of my existence? I just made that plural. I don't know. Whatever. But anyway, so I've been off sugar for a while now, like refined sugar. But it's the same thing. It's the same mindset as cutting out something like sugar, especially that's so powerful, like number one above cocaine, by the way. Refined sugar. Then number two, cocaine. Just saying. But anyway, terrible. But like, instead of thinking, oh, my God, I can't have this, it's like, okay, I can have all these other things. And the thing that happens is because – you can only consume so many calories in a day. And if you really want a healthy lifestyle, you're going to try to make some deliberate, smart choices. And so if I'm going to do that and yet I'm still having sugar, I'm just using that as an example, okay? If I'm still having sugar, well, then I'm likely not going to have this good grain over here or, you know, an apple in it because I've already maxed out, you know, and most, you know, if you're an addictive person and you see a chocolate chip cookie or an apple, most people are going to want to reach for that cookie if that's still on the table. But since I've taken it off the table, again, one, that's a relief because for me, it's a freedom from situation, freedom from the addiction. But then it's just like, now I'm not missing out on having that good nutrition, that apple that's going to fill me for one, because the fiber, it's so, you know, it's bulky and then it's tasty. It's some natural sugar. Gives me some nutrition, and then it gives me energy instead of making me feel awful in a minute, and then I just need like 10 more because then I'm just a 7-Eleven junkie going to buy the cheapest sugar crap I can get, you know. But that's me. I digress.
Funny. That's hilarious. 7-Eleven junkie. That's funny. Well,
yeah,
you know,
it's terrible. It's terrible.
My advice on it would be something that I did, you know, and I actually did this after – going to the General Barn and watching Game Changers, actually going to the premiere of that, I learned about Meatless Mondays, and I thought that was amazing. Mm. And so I said, you know what? That's something I can commit to. One day a week of going meatless, just one day. And so my whole family, I started getting, you know, other family members, different states on the same thing. And just some of the, like, I'll read the top five benefits of going meatless on Mondays. These are just five benefits that, I'm going to read those. And number one would be reduce your heart disease, obesity, you know, risk of cancer, stroke, and diabetes.
Yep.
That's number one. That's number one. Just go meatless on Monday. That will still reduce your risk. Number two,
it's incredible.
You save 133 gallons of water with each meatless meal. That's huge, especially
amazing.
Us Californians,
yeah.
where we need
yeah.
water, like, or we're going to end up, you know, it's going to be really bad for us if we don't do something about our water situation, because it's you know, we're running out here. Three, save energy. It saves energy by going meatless on Mondays. It reduces the carbon footprint by 8 pounds each meatless Monday. That's huge.
It's amazing. It's huge. It's huge.
That's really big. And then four, reduce
your
family's grocery budget by going meatless one time a week. And that's true, too, because meat, anything, all groceries, the hyperinflation on groceries and products are, it's just out of this world. You know, it's insane.
Terrible.
My family works in restaurant business, and it's just crazy how much food has went up. So five, and particularly meat.
Yeah.
Five, it saves lives. If all Americans participated in meatless Mondays, it would prevent billions of animals from being factory farmed. So those are five things to kind of think about. Just doing just only one day a week. I think that that is a doable commitment. There's so many amazing things that you could eat other than meat just one day a week. One day a week?
Absolutely.
I think that's an easy commitment. Let's say you don't want to put yourself in a box of vegan, vegetarian, plant-based. Let's say that's not just who you – it's not who you are. You want to still enjoy meat. That's okay. Even if – I mean, that's your prerogative, right? But going one day a week, I think that that could be a doable commitment.
Very doable.
Right?
Yeah. I love that. I'm totally with you. I think it's – you know, this is the thing. All great things are achieved usually one little tiny step at a time. And that sounds like, oh, one day. But look at what you just read. That's major. That's massive. So 100%. Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion. You know, start small.
And it's just a little impact. Those little teeny things are what makes a world of difference. And literally a lot of times, I'll think of it and I'll go, huh, like today.
Yeah.
I didn't have any meat today at all, but it was by chance.
Yeah.
I just didn't. I had other things. And so that's what I'm saying. Just sometimes you do it unconsciously, like you do it without even realizing that you're doing that. But if you're conscious about it too, just making one day, meatless Monday, then go back to your Taco Tuesday, whatever that is. You know, but I've even incorporated on my Taco Tuesdays too. Now I buy my Mr. Tortilla. I'm not endorsing them, but you know, I buy Mr. Tortilla because it's like 1 gram of sugar, no sugar.
So good.
So I feel like I'm having a street taco. So good. And then I get the meatless crumbles. They're like meatless crumbles.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Yes, I've had those.
OMG!
Incredible.
Heaven.
I know.
Oh yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
That's my go-to now. So now even on my Taco Tuesdays, I'm actually incorporating that, which I love. It's better.
That's so cool.
And I feel better.
Well, and that
because I can still feel like I'm not being boring. Like I can still eat something that I like, right?
Oh, totally. And I think that's an excellent point, because if people think, oh, it's going to be boring. I mean, the truth is, you know, taste doesn't. It's not meat isn't responsible for all flavor and taste. I'm not saying it can't taste good. Obviously, you know, I'm not going to get into that argument. It's subjective, but seriously, it's herbs and spices and fats that really make things taste good. So I think learning a little bit about what a person likes, like what you just described, that's amazing. And I've totally had that meal too. It's great. I mean, learning a little bit about, I mean, it's make it tasty.
And I didn't
no one's
veg.
Saying, you know.
I didn't feel like I needed four tacos.
Cool.
Like, I felt like two tiny little ones was, like, enough because I made it so flavorful. Like, just, you know, herbs and spices. It's already naturally herbs and spices there, you know, in the meat crumbles.
Right.
But Yeah, so it's like, you know, and then you can just add a little side salad with that, and boom, there you go. It's
so good.
A big meal right there for me. It's a perfect dinner, lunch, but it's great.
Yeah.
And so those small steps, I think,
that
make the biggest difference.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I do
to
too.
But we gotta, you know, we got to switch gears, Dallas, because
we got to pivot.
You know, we are running out of time. It's crazy. Yeah, we're running out of time, but I want to be able to talk about your creative side. You know, the vegan side is super cool, and I really appreciate you sharing that with us, because it's what makes you you. It's part of you. It's part of you. But you have so many different sides of you, and it's amazing. Like, the creative side, I think, is probably one of the funnest sides of you that, you know, you're creative in a lot of different ways, you know, but as an artist, and you can play instruments, and that's absolutely amazing. You know, you rap, you write, you act, you're a pianist. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, because I want to play your new song tonight. So let's tell our listeners about your song that they're about to hear when we close here tonight.
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm so glad you're doing it, because I have another one I'm almost done with, so we got to do this one. This one's Will You Stand Up, and I think it's pretty much in the title. I'm sort of presenting a question to people like, are you okay with this? You know, look at the things that are happening. Are you going to stand up? Are you going to stand by? Are you going to do something about it? You know, and personally, I always live from the place of like, at the end, I will be proud about what I did. And I didn't hide. I didn't stick my head in the sand. You know, I did what was necessary and like stood up for the truth, stood up for what's right. And I am compelled to do that through my art and writing. Like, I'm working on so many things. I have a couple of writing projects I'm working on. And because I'm just compelled to, I cannot not do something. And so anyway, that's partly what it is. I mean, I talk about forgiveness and redemption, and that's something that all people need, and culture doesn't want to allow for that, which is insane, because human beings are all fallible. So it's not good. It's not sustainable. I'm basically just saying, are you going to stand up and stand by while these things are happening, you know, and just culture war. And you told me I can't talk about politics, which is killing me. So that's, you know, the rest is pretty much in the song, you know, it's all there.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, put it in your artistry, which you're doing. And I think, I think there's different ways that you can put messages out there without, you know, there's ways of doing things to really, for people to be receptive of the message, you know, and I think artistry and being creative is a good way to do that. You know, I know music for me has always been a good outlet. Like, when I'm feeling a way about something, for me to get my emotions and things out, I write my music. And so, it's
nice.
It's part of healing, I think, Dallas. I think your music is healing you. And, you know, when you're angry about something, when you're hurt about something, when you want to be heard about something, you put it in your song. And that is, you know, that's part of being an artist, you know, and part of being creative. So I really appreciate you sharing that with us tonight. And I want to ask one last thing before I let you go, so that we have enough time for the song here. How can people follow your music and your career in terms of like social media, downloads, will follow you?
Sure. I think you put the links on the on your podcast page. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But pretty much like Instagram, Twitter, now that it's cool again, I'm on there. It's Twitter is The Dallas Molloy. Instagram is the same, The Dallas Molloy, which sounds so lame, but like my name was taken, whatever. So, and then YouTube, just type in my name and it'll show up. All my music's on there, my act reel, my voice of reel, all that stuff if you're interested. And I'm on Getter as well. And that one's just Dallas Molloy, I believe. I'm pretty easy to find. And I still have Facebook, if anyone still goes on there. I'm not sure, but I am on there. But I'm probably most active on, I'm on TikTok too.
Well, Dallas Leroy, I just want to spell it for everyone. So that way, because literally if somebody Googles your name, all this will pop up. But Dallas, you know, like Dallas, Texas, D-A-L-L-A-S.
Yeah.
And Malloy, M-A-L-L-O-Y. So if you just put Dallas
That's
Malloy
right.
and you search it, a lot of different things will pop up. So for those that just
Most of it good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
you have a great
I don't claim responsibility for everything on there. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight, and I wish you nothing but success and appreciate you sharing your story with us, and I look forward to having you on again, maybe to talk about the herbalist part. Like that, you just gave me another idea for a show.
Oh my God, I know. I have 10 more
ideas.
Every
time I talk, I'm like, oh, another one,
I know so much. I know. Thank
All
you.
Right.
You're
well,
great
thank
talking
you so much,
to you
Dallas.
Always.
Oh, thank you. All right, we're going to play this song. Everybody have a blessed night and listen away. Here we go.
All right.
Will you stand up or will you stand by? Will you speak back and call out the lies? As it falls apart, will you shut your eyes? Will you feel proud? When you realize, will you wake up before your demise? Will you stand up? Let me summarize. Will you stand by and let women become third-class citizens? Let her sports get ruined, pretend you don't see the difference. Label victim or oppressor, either way's a sentence. Bullied into false beliefs, making your skin a prison. Cancel those who don't agree, destroy their life and image. Say it's all okay so you don't have to make decisions. The only way out of this, finding a common thread. Listen to this one thing, if nothing else I said. Finds its way in your heart, keep these few things in mind. Stop for a minute, remember a different time. Other things mattered, lives, dreams. It wasn't so them and us. No, a little bit. Integrity, hope still existed. More community, yeah, that is the answer. Oh, and dignity, yeah, division's a cancer. No way to run a society. We all need redemption. We the ones who make it possible. Time for reinvention. This is your turn now. Do not comply. Will you stand up or will you stand by? Will you speak back and call out the lies? As it falls apart, will you shut your eyes? Will you feel proud when you realize? Will you wake up before your demise? Will you stand up? Let me summarize. Will you stand by and let others' rights be trampled? Look away as we are segregated and dismantled. Give up on your freedom because you took it for granted. Call it all conspiracy because you can't imagine. See all through a lens of race, creating more damage. Try erasing all the men like that's an advantage. Damn. Maybe you think it's too late, but it's not. That's the problem when you give up power of thought. It's all up to you now, and this is your time. Reimagine that hope and step up to the line. Other things mattered. Lives, dreams. It wasn't so them and us. No. Little bit. Integrity, hope still existed. More community, yeah, that is the answer. Oh, and dignity, yeah, division's a cancer. No way to run a society. We all need redemption. We the ones who make it possible. Time for reinvention. This is your turn now. Be fearless today, or there's nothing left. If we can't speak the truth, that is our death. Time to be brave now. Stand up for what is right. You can't just wait around for someone else to fight.